All right, if you guys have your Bibles, open them up. Go to 2 Corinthians. We're going to be in chapter 4 today. We're going to be learning about Paul's ministry of truth and integrity. And this is your ministry too. This is our ministry here at the church. That's what God's wanting for you and me. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting from verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart." Verse 2, "But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Father in heaven, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for people like Paul who had ministry of truth, a ministry of standing in integrity. And these are awesome examples. Jesus, that was you. And we see that through the power of your spirit, how you helped Paul to do that back then. And this is also exactly what you want for the church today. This is what you want for your people here. So please empower us by your spirit of truth. Give us courage, boldness to stand and teach and preach your word of truth. Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. We're to be people of truth. Help us with these things, Lord. Empower us to live life for your glory. And help us as we close out this calendar month and this year that we can finish with a bang, so to speak, Lord. That we can be on fire and stay on fire for you, Lord, and not burn out. But we need the power of your spirit, your supernatural power. Give us your strength, we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You guys could have a seat if you would. So today I want to talk to you about the ministry that Paul received from God. It is, even as we shared here on the screen, I'll show you again, it was a ministry of truth and a ministry of integrity. Can we say those two words? Truth, integrity. Say it again. Truth, integrity. That's good. One more time. Truth, integrity. So here's what God did with Paul. He had a ministry, essentially, of teaching God's word of truth and integrity of applying God's word in his life. And this is what he's getting at here. We're going to see as we break down this chapter and looking at starting up these two verses, this is what Corinth needed back then. This is what our church and the church globally needs still today. Amen. And dare I say, if you can make it applicable for you personally, this is what the people around you need as well today. They're going to look at your life as a Christian, a Christ follower, and they're going to wonder, like how I used to ponder, do you believe in God? And do you believe his word is true? Because the best Bible study is not the one that's preached, but the one that's walked out. Amen? So people are checking out your choices in life. And here's what Corinth needed. They needed someone like Paul, just like what we need today. Paul, first, he's recounting here how God gave him, he says, mercy. Mercy. He says, we have received mercy. Okay? It's not something that he just walked in. It's something he received. Mercy. Simple definition, not getting what you deserve. We deserve to die on the cross for our own sins, publicly, like Jesus did. Amen? But God had mercy on you and me by sending his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for you to take your place and mine, just like Paul's. So God gave you mercy, but not everybody receives that mercy, right? Some people just, not for me. I don't need that crutch. I don't need Jesus. You need Jesus. But we are those that have received mercy, just like Paul, amen? We've received. You've received mercy. So before getting saved, what was Paul doing? He wasn't following Christ. He was killing Christians, right? Persecuting Christians. He's like, wow, imagine that kind of mercy. Imagine from the perspective of Jesus Christ. You know the story. From the perspective of Jesus, if this were you, this is how you and I know we're not Jesus. When Jesus saw Paul, he saw what Paul could be through his grace and strength. He had to go through a lot of trials and tribulations. But he saw not who he was then, but who he could be in Christ. Amen? Just like how he sees us. But remember what Paul went through. He was Saul of Tarsus. He was a persecutor and killer of Christians. He knew the high priest. He had letters from him to travel up north above Jerusalem, to even go way up there, to try to go in the synagogues and grab and drag any Christians. He would love to have a gathering like this. He'd come in here, get the chains, lock the doors, y'all are going to have a whipping. And he would whip you until you blaspheme. Say it again, Yeshua is not Messiah. You reject him. And he would torture people like that, want to kill them and drag them back to Jerusalem, the holy city. That was Saul of Tarsus, this guy to teach the church about grace and mercy. Yeah, so God had mercy on him. Paul deserved to die. But then Jesus saved Paul and changed him, just like how Jesus saves and changes us. Amen? He had mercy. So Paul knew he had received mercy. God had mercy on him. Mercy, not getting what you deserve. And on top of mercy, Paul knew that God gave Paul grace. Mercy, not getting what you deserve. Grace, getting what you don't deserve. On top of being saved from the fires of hell and dying on a cross for his own sins even, or dying just because he's a sinner, he gave him grace. He gave him heaven. He gave him empowerment. And in this new covenant time, God himself, through Jesus Christ, comes to live, abide, reside, dwell within you and I. Everything and everybody in two-thirds of the Bible, the Old Testament, David, Abraham, all these people did not have what you and I, through Christ Jesus, get to experience on a day-by-day basis. This gospel of Jesus Christ, he comes to live within you. Paul knew that. Guys like David, Abraham, etc., Moses, they didn't have that in the Old Testament time. God gave Paul grace. He gets heaven. He gave him, I like what Bob Hoekstra says, day by day by grace. Daily he gives you grace. Grace for living. Grace in Christ. Grace so that you can understand how God could take you and save you and give you mercy, give you love, and also, oh, he wants to keep blessing you with his grace. He gives you gifts of grace, spiritual gifts. And Paul knew that God gave him a ministry. He's like, me? Giving me a ministry? That's crazy. That's cuckoo crazy for Cocoa Puffs, right? Here's what Paul also wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. He says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me. Listen to that. Enabled me because he counted me faithful. Paul's like, counted me faithful? I was killing Christians. How am I faithful? God enabled him, counted him faithful, putting me into the ministry. He didn't take the ministry. He had to be put into the ministry. Look at this in verse 13. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained what? It says mercy. Because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Now you and I all fit within this category here, but you didn't persecute and kill Christians like this guy did. And if God could give him mercy and give him a ministry of grace, can God use your life? He can. I'm proof of that. If God used my life, I was an idiot. Still am in some ways, but I'll be a fool for Christ. Amen? And the ways of the world, they look at us and they think we're foolish. That's okay. I'd rather be a fool for Christ because I'm on the right side, right? You win with Christ. You lose if you don't have Christ. So he knew that he deserved to die for his own sins. God gave him mercy. He was killing Christians. Look what he says here. I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. The killer of Christians became a Christian victorious in Christ. Like, that doesn't make sense. Except for the grace of God. And God gave Paul grace. Further on, he gave him grace, not just because he deserved something and didn't get it. He deserved to die. Gave him grace, saved him, gave him heaven. Gave him the Holy Spirit living within him to empower him and teach him and correct him like how he does with you and me. But he gave him a ministry of grace. A ministry of grace. And ladies and gentlemen, this is something I want us to look at here today. Look at this. So what did God do through Paul? Look at what Paul actually says here in chapter 4, verse 2. Now remember, this comes off the heels of chapter 3. Chapter 3, we looked at the fact that Paul's like, all right, there are naysayers out there. They're saying, where's his letter of recommendation? And he's like, you Corinthians, you guys are my letter of recommendation. You are the ones that show proof that God's called me because God anointed Paul, people got saved, a church gelled together, and Paul's teaching them and discipling them, and now people are growing, they're spiritually maturing. It's like, all you got to do is look at that. That's proof that God had used his life. And so now what does he say? Well, there's false teachers that were there, just like how we actually have more false teachers today, unfortunately. But here's what God wants to do through you and me here. Look what Paul did. I color-coded this here, and I just quoted exactly from the word. Paul renounced the hidden things of shame. These are shameful things that false teachers do. And he's going to list two things here. And please understand this in chapter 4, verse 2. If we don't go further than this, and this is all you get, there's going to be a lot more, but if this is all you get, this will equip you to be able to see a false teacher, because they're all around us in New York City. Amen? And you got to know. Look what he says. What are these shameful things? So Paul had a grace ministry. There's a shameful ministry. And guys, they're right outside of it, all around New York City. And they're teaching even this morning, sadly, and all around the world. Walking in craftiness. He's like, I'm not going to walk in craftiness like you Corinthians are. You're falling to false teachers. But hey, I want to have a ministry of truth. And I need to apply this word of truth, the Bible. And I'm going to stand and walk in integrity. And what he's going to say here in this passage throughout this chapter is God himself is going to convict your hearts. Because you're going to see truth. You're going to see someone standing in that truth with integrity. Therefore, you're going to see what's false. Make sense? And that exists today. Okay, so what existed then as a principle still exists today. By the way, Jesus said in many passages, he said things like, you'll know them by their what? Fruit. And when people are talking about John the Baptist and even about Jesus himself, what does he say about John the Baptist? Wisdom is justified by her children. Okay. So as time goes on, what was birth? What's the fruit? What's the net result? Whether it's John the Baptist, was he from God? What about Yeshua, Jesus himself? Was he from God? Wisdom is justified by her children. That's another way to state this principle. You stand in the integrity of God's word. And over time, people will be able to see, are you standing with God's wisdom or are you falling to the fake, the liars of the world? Make sense? Because many times in Christendom, it's very confusing. I can't tell if that guy or gal is from Jesus, who's the way, the truth, and the life, quoting the spirit of truth, saying what he wrote in the word of truth, or is that person following the father of lies, who is who? Satan. It gets confusing, doesn't it? Wisdom is justified by her children. Check things out as time goes on. So they doubted Jesus, so much so that what did they do? They crucified him on a cross. Did they fully receive John the Baptist? No. Remember how he died? He got his head chopped off. Imagine seeing him in heaven. It's like, I imagine remember some guy saying, what if he's there in heaven? He's like holding his head. It's like, hello, you must be John the Baptist. No, he probably has his body put together. Sorry. The silly ways that my mind thinks sometimes. So Paul says that not like the false teachers, what did he do? He didn't walk in craftiness. Now, I want to kind of park it here for a little bit and allow the Spirit of God minister to your hearts, because some of you guys and gals probably need healing. Why? Because I know New York City, and I know how it is around the world because of the Bible, because of the Word of God prophesies that in these last days, men will be lovers of self. You're going to have people preaching all about self. And Jesus says, deny self. And yet, some Christians are like, nah, I don't want that. Give me the money. Give me this or that. And so those are ways you can identify a false teacher, a false prophet. Don't get suckered into that. Make sense? They're all over the place. So look how they're walking. Are they walking in craftiness? There are false teachers that are doing that. Paul's saying, I didn't choose to walk in that craftiness. He wanted to walk with integrity. Notice also the second thing he says here, I put as number two, handling the word of God deceitfully. Ladies and gentlemen, raise your swords. It's the word of God. Do you believe this is the word of God? If so, do you know there's going to be people in your life that are going to check out your life if you say you believe in Jesus and you say that this is God's word? Here's how my heart was. Even before I was a Christian, I want to see it. Right? We're New Yorkers. We've been lied to, right? You go to other places, people are more open. You approach someone on the streets in New York City, what happens? I don't have any money. Get away from me. You know, that's kind of how it is. That's New York, right? So New Yorkers, we've been faked. We used to say when I was growing up, don't fake the funk, right? We've been faked a lot, and so you're used to being conned. There's a lot of con artists out there, not just New York City, but because of sin in this fallen world, they're all over the place. So people are going to want to see if you believe the Bible. Guess how? Is it going to be because of, I don't want to knock it. You can read the whole Bible, and that's great. Is it going to be about how much you quote the scriptures, or if you say it with a King Jimmy English kind of accent? Thou sayest. No. They're going to see the Bible because you're going to be walking out the Bible. Amen? And that's how they're going to know that you know the God of the Bible and that you know his word, because your life is going to preach the gospel. Make sense? And this is what Paul is saying here. So he didn't want to walk in craftiness, nor did he want to handle the word of God deceitfully. So these two things of shame, or you could take this word, another translation might say dishonesty. These two things of shame or dishonesty are walking in craftiness. That word craftiness could speak of trickery. Some of you guys, you're coming in here and you need to be healed from the trickery of the world, of various churches and denominations and abominations, because they took God's word and they were walking in craftiness and they're handling the word of God deceitfully. We cannot do that here, amen? If that happens, stone me. I can say that tongue-in-cheek, but really, if that happens where I'm not teaching you God's word anymore, but it's like, oh, let's turn to the Book of Mormon, or let me tell you about having your best life now, or how it's all about you, then I have disqualified myself from being a teacher of and preacher of God's word of truth. I need to step down. Unfortunately, that's celebrated today, but that's prophesied in God's word. So Paul's saying, I didn't have that kind of ministry. He had a ministry of grace. He wasn't peddling or handling God's word deceitfully. So there's people today that will use trickery to build the church. We can't do that today. We can't do that here. Amen? And you need not do that in your life. And also there's people that will handle the word of God deceitfully. This word deceitfully is a word that means to adulterate. Think of like adultery. You can't mix God's word with the ways of the world. And there's people like, well, you know, they're really not going to accept it. You know, send them out of with a smile, one guy said. As kind of a false prophet. Don't tell them about death. Don't say about the death of Jesus or his blood. I remember as a kid growing up, I used to sit there going to church and go, why are we always singing about this guy dying and blood? That's what I literally thought. And you know what? I wasn't saved. And you get saved, you're like, oh, the blood of Jesus, you're right. No, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But before someone's saved, it's like, I don't want to hear about death and blood. So there's a guy that actually led a whole slew of churches. False prophet, leading false prophets. Send them out with a smile. Don't talk about anything negative. That's happened? Yeah, that was actually years ago, sadly. So don't handle the word of God deceitfully. So Paul's saying there's people back then that were false teachers that were doing that. And Paul's like, I dare not do that. This word for deceitfully also comes from a word that means to decoy. You guys ever watch Duck Dynasty? I love watching that show sometimes, right? You know the little quack, 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 quack. They make those little duck calls. And you guys know what duck hunting's about, right? Right. Me and my son seen that. Okay, and you could have like a little lake or pond, you throw out the little duck decoys, right? It's fake. It's artificial. And you're trying to lure them in, okay? You do that with hunting and fishing. So he's saying that there's people using trickery. They're going to bait. They're going to decoy. And all they got to do is say the name of Jesus. And this is what Satan does. Satan quoted God's word to Eve, didn't he? And Satan even quoted God's word to Jesus, didn't he? Is Satan and these fallen angels, are they going to try to do that with you then? You better bet. And some of us have already fallen to that. We got to be careful. So don't handle the word of God deceitfully and run as quick as you can away from a church that's handling God's word deceitfully. So Paul puts it this way. How can you define or look at dishonest teaching? People are going to handle the word of God deceitfully. So now you're going to leave here and you're like, you know what? There's perhaps a lot of churches around New York City or the greater New York area that are into that. But hey, Paul refused to do that. Let's just continue on. And so there's a lot more I want to say. Now, what did Paul do? How did he handle things then if he's not going to be handling the Word of God deceitfully, if he's going to be walking with integrity and not be a liar? Here's what he did. Look what he says. He says, by manifestation of the truth. This word for manifestation, it could speak of exhibition. It could speak of expression. You guys know what we do here is what we might call getting out. Expository teaching, expository preaching. We're exposing to you what God has already said, because that's what we need, and that's what you need to know and to grow. Amen? So this is what he's talking about here. By exhibiting, all I got to do is exhibit to you God's word on the display, teach it, speak it. Okay, I don't have to be the best speaker because I'm not. But I do need to get you God's word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You're going to grow in faith if you hear God's word. And you need to have God's word more and more so you can grow. Amen? So all Paul's doing, he's saying, how do I handle this in Corinth? Because he had a ministry of truth and integrity. I just got to put truth on display. I just have to exhibit God's word of truth. And you know, you need to know this. This principle works because that's how God birthed this church. It wasn't me. I'm not the best looking guy or most eloquent guy. There's better teachers. Just you can listen to The Bridge Christian Radio. Great teachers on there. You can listen to Pastor Chuck Smith Sr. Great teaching going through the entire Bible. Way better than I'm going to do. But you know what you need here? You need to hear, and you need to have God's word exhibited, and you need to be discipled with God's word of truth. Amen? So Paul's saying, this is how I dealt with the false teachers. By being a true teacher, you just give them truth. By manifestation of the truth, by exhibiting truth. That's it? That's it. So guess what, guys? And this is, let me just give you, peel back the curtain a little bit. I don't know everything, but I know a little bit, tiny bit. I'm still learning. But from the beginning, I remember being here, laying on the ground in a one-bedroom or one-car garage in Middle Village when I first moved here, post 9/11. And I'd be praying, Lord, what do you want me to do? And it was really simple. Some of you guys have been here for a while. I've like shared this years and years ago. Just keep sowing my word. Just keep getting my word out. I'm like, yeah, but come on. I want something more tangible. I want something like here and now. Do this, A, today, tomorrow, B, boom. Doesn't happen that way. Nothing grows overnight. Just get my word out there. I'm like, but I walk around. This is, this part of Queens. Everybody seems to be a Christian. You know, and many people are like, oh, I already go to church. Where do you go to church? Our Lady of Hope on Elliott Avenue. Like, they're not saved, and that's not church. And they're not Christian. They're not born again. And they didn't want to hear about Jesus or hear about the Bible. I'm like, what am I going to do, God? Just keep walking with me. Keep getting God's word out. I'm like, I want something a little more tangible. I understand it gives me hope for the future. It gives me faith. But man, I was struggling. That was tough. But here's what God did. And this is why I could stand here in this pulpit today and say nobody can say God does not exist. And nobody can tell me that God does not want this church, you here. And nobody can tell me that God's word is not true today. Amen? The word of God is living and active today. Never died. The word of God stands forever. Amen? Nobody could tell me that because he showed me how he can birth something out of nothing. Nothing. I didn't want to be here. It's not my faithfulness. It's his. It's just really tough because you're sowing seeds, just like a farmer. You're sowing seeds of God's word. And that seed has to die, has to go in the ground, has to be germinated, has to be protected. And as it grows, you go, wow, that's going to take a long time. Exactly. But that's how God births it. And that's how God birthed this church and how God's going to grow each and every one of you. It's by you as a child of God, having the word of God, anointed by the Spirit of God, and God will cause the growth, not me. Not me. Please understand that. So this is what God did at Corinth. This is what God did here in Queens, New York City, USA. And I'm just so astonished at these principles. Wow, well, they do work. Now, I know they work, but to see it right in front of my eyes when you experience it, experiential knowledge, way different than just book knowledge, amen? You see it like, wow. So look what he did. He had a ministry from God, and it was of truth. All he had to do was manifest or exhibit truth. Some of you guys have been here a while. Some of you guys might remember coming to my apartment. Or it's like Jose or Andy, Kathy, you guys remember, right? Like, you guys write down your questions, come in. And it's still the same thing. It's just the Bible, still the same Bible, right? It's still the same thing. People just need love. They need help. They need their questions answered. I don't have the answers, but I know who does, right? And I don't have wisdom, but I got my Bible. And that's it. Has it changed? Some of you guys have been around. Has that changed in like 20 years? No, right? So what changed? God changed the hearts. I didn't change. I grew, but God's word stands forever. So let the steadfastness of God and his word draw you in. Okay, and he's going to ask you to apply it. So this is what Paul did at Corinth. He just had to manifest or exhibit God's truth. And that's going to be the thing that's going to differentiate between false teachers and true teachers. To see if you're a true teacher, just give them God's truth. Makes sense, right? Simple. But it's so easy just to deviate from that. So pray that we keep on that same path like Paul was. And integrity. Look what he says. Commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Listen, guys. This was Paul's ministry. He was simply exhibit God's truth and then take a step back. And it's like, I don't have to convince you. I'm going to commend you to your conscience in the fear and sight of God. So now God, who wrote this Bible, he's going to convict your hearts, not me, because I don't want to play Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? He'll convict your hearts. And then through time, some people will fall off. Some people will fall in line. It's not my problem. Embrace that so as you preach God's word of truth, you can have boldness and courage. It's like what Jesus said in Mark chapter 4 of the parable of the four soils, parable of the sower. You go out. Like, think of Johnny Appleseed, just like walk around, you know, the wind's blowing, it's like flowing everywhere. You just get God's word out and let the Holy Spirit deal with the hearts. And you're going to have four type of hearts that'll hit. Some, like it falls on the wayside, like the area where the dirt's tough and rough and hard. Ding, 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 ding. It's like you get God's word out and someone's like, ah! My dad, my physical dad was like that. You just sow God's word of truth. And some people will just flat out reject it as the first soil. Some people like, yes, I need salvation. I want freedom. I'm fiending for that. I want it. Yes. They say yes today and tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. Where are they? Second soil. Jesus says has no root in himself. That's the integrity of the soil, the heart. Third soil is a person's like, yes, I need it, but I still want to be worldly, worldly Christian. It's an oxymoronic term. You can't, like oil and water, they don't mix. So that's the soil, and that's probably a lot of Christians in America, bears no fruit. What happens? It chokes out the word of God in their life. Okay, you know that age-old saying, this was around when I was a kid, that person that has one foot in the world, one foot. Now, why? That's so ubiquitous. We all know about that, right? That's because it doesn't work, right? I've been there a couple of times. I've fallen away. I want to be a Christian that takes drugs. There are no Christian drug dealers. Yeah, I want to be that. I came out of partying. I want to be that Christian partier. You can go to parties, but I'm saying if you're like I do, as a DJ dragging kids really into hell and promoting like the filth and the lies and the potty music, and that's really what a lot of it was. And those are the people, those are the kind of songs that people requested. I'm like, after a while, I can't play this stuff. It's really weird how God changes you. So that's that third soil. The worldly Christian. In other words, not really saved. And you can't tell. How can you tell? Is there real spiritual lasting fruit? No. The fourth soil, that's the good heart. Okay, someone that receives God's word, like good soil, put in the good fertile soil. And what happens? That seed will germinate. And some people grow to, it mentions about like a fruitful tree. Some will have fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100 fold. That's the Christian that's a disciple who goes off to make disciples. Be that for soil. Amen? And so this is Paul, what Paul was getting at. He went forward. And what you and I need to move towards. So all you got to do is exhibit God's word And like Paul did, stand with integrity. And let me tell you, here's the reality. Everybody's got a Bible. You got a Bible. You got digital copies. They're all over the place. So big deal if you got a Bible. You could teach the Bible. You could preach the Bible. Great. All you got to do, you could turn on the radio. I remember J. Vernon McGee, an old dead Texan. Hey there, little fella. I mean, he teaches like that. He speaks like that. Great teaching, though. He teaches through the Bible, not just Calvary Chapel. He does that. God is not even alive today. You could listen to that, and that's great. Here's the reality, though. Will you have integrity to walk out what God's Word says? That's the real deal. That's a Christ follower. That's the four soil. That's the one that's being discipled who will make disciples. Because Jesus wants you to follow Him. And then, see, the Christian dies and goes to heaven. Big deal. The disciple dies and brings others with them. Amen? Be a disciple. Don't just be a decision maker. I think I'm a Christian. I don't know where I'm at. Don't know if I'm saved. I hope I get to heaven. Please, God. No, you need to follow Jesus and help others to follow Him. And that's actually how you're going to sharpen your faith and deepen your faith, by pouring out to other people, by serving God. So he was a man of integrity. He had a ministry of grace, and it was one of truth, God's word of truth. And people in Corinth got to check him out and go, you know what? And they didn't know this, like what he's saying here, that God's Spirit's going to convict the hearts for the people in Corinth. And this, as a principle, still exists today. So as you teach God's word, just allow God's Spirit to convict the hearts. That's out of your hands, amen? Now, if you know that, when it comes to teaching God's word or preaching or exhorting, just like I know, it's like I can have the stress and like, oh, God, please anoint these, you know, these notes and these dry bones, make them come to life. But God, they're yours. I just need to be faithful to His word, and then God's Spirit will convict your hearts. Just like Paul says here. Look, he says, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So he had a ministry of integrity. He didn't have to force it. This is the Calvary Chapel way, by the way. This is the way of the Holy Spirit. This is the way of God. This is how God birthed His church. This is how He did it with at Corinth. I'm sure it's not exactly like us, but tapping into the same principles. Just like you. You could tap into the same principles for your own life. Whether you're at home or at work or with your family and friends, your neighborhood, you could simply share God's word and allow others to see your life as you apply that same word that you're preaching to them. And the Holy Spirit's going to convict hearts and say, this guy, this gal believes it. And, oh, wow, I could see the gospel. I'm not just hearing it. I could see their life is good news. Does that make sense? That's preaching with power, even if you say it really low in volume. You don't have to say it loud and with a lot of passion. It could be simply for you to state it in simple ways. You could even whisper it. But God will use not just your walk, right? Not just your talk, I should say, but also with your walk. And that's preaching and living with power. So this is what Paul did. He exhibited God's word of truth, and he allowed the Holy Spirit to convict hearts. And so he had a ministry simply of integrity. So this church, just like the church at Corinth, it was founded upon truth and integrity. That's it. It's as simple as it gets. And believe me, being here over 20 years, it's so simple that some people coming out of denominations and all sorts of weird church backgrounds, some can't handle it. Some of you guys don't know this. So one reason why I want to point people, it's like, I don't handle the finances. I'll point Leticia. So every now and then we'll have someone come in that are used to, oh, pastor, I'm just going to let you know, oh, where's the offerings box with my $500 or whatever? And I'm like, I want to know. You talk to Leticia. And so some people that come in those kind of backgrounds, and it's so simple here, they're not used to it. The simplicity stumbles people. Good. So maybe the Holy Spirit, as we're just wanting to stand in God's word of truth, we're not perfect people. We need a perfect Savior. Amen? But by standing in God's word of truth and trying to have integrity, just like Paul, it's like, you belong to God, and may God convict your heart. So I'm responsible, and I have to give account to God, that I'm going to be a preacher of truth. I'm an under-shepherd under Jesus, a good shepherd, that will simply give you God's word and step back and allow the Holy Spirit to convict you, that He's going to speak to your conscience, not me. And then you're going to have to determine for yourself. This is the challenge. Because at Calvary Chapel and in this particular church, we don't have a membership. Why? Because I don't want to control you. And having membership that you have to like sign on for membership, that's unbiblical. And some of you guys and gals have been healed from that. Because that's a way to control you. And to call you up, oh, giving's down, what's wrong? Oh, can you bring in your taxes? Let's talk about it. Does that happen? Yeah, that actually happens. That sounds funny, but that actually happens. And that's unbiblical. So you don't belong to me, you belong to God, amen? Okay. So therefore, we don't have a membership, a role. So nobody but God knows how many people are in Calvary Chapels worldwide. And yet, in a weird sort of or interesting way, in many states, some of the biggest churches are actually Calvary Chapels. It's like God's got a sense of humor, right? And we don't know. We don't track it. How many people are in Calvary Chapel? Why isn't it like this denomination? I don't know. The Holy Spirit knows. That's interesting, right? But you belong to God. So we need to stand in integrity and teach and preach this, that you, in the fear inside of God, that you can allow God's Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to speak to you, to let you know whether or not we're teaching you truth, because you got a brain, and God knows that you're smart enough that you need to be discipled to point yourself to Him. You can pray, God, is this true or not? And you check it. You need to be a brain and check things, test it through Scripture. Amen? Be a Berean, Acts 17, verse 11. Test all things. You'll find that in 1 Thessalonians. You can test it only by and with and through God's Word. So the things that I'm teaching you, are they from God's Word of truth, or am I just being like these false teachers, peddling or mishandling the Word of God? I don't want to do that. I need to point you to Jesus and the Bible. Amen? It's really that simple. All right, so let's continue on. I'm taking up too much time here. So verse 3, continue on. Notice here, you might sit there and go, but if I do that and if I'm just teaching the Bible and I'm allowing God to convict the hearts, aren't people needing more? I mean, I thought I got to go and reap in the harvest, or I got to do this, or I got to, you know, blab and grab it, confess it and possess it. I got to do something. Because after all, they're not going to receive Him. Well, you got to just let God do it. And some people are going to accept and some people are going to reject. Right? That's it. Look at this in verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves. Let that hit. For we do not preach ourselves. I'm going to say it a third time. For we do not preach ourselves. But Christ Jesus, notice he says, the Lord. Jesus is Lord. Amen? But Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So if you ask that question, okay, Paul, if I teach and preach like you, you just exhibit God's word of truth. So you have a ministry of truth. I need to do that. I got my Bible, so I can do that. You can do it offline or online. I'm doing that. You could do that. And then just sit back and allow you to convict the hearts. Well, not everybody's going to receive it. That's okay. You got to leave it up to God. Amen? And here's what happens. Here's how you can answer that question. So some aren't going to receive the gospel. Why? The world has a spiritual blindness. There's a spiritual blindness. The gospel is veiled to them, and some are not going to receive the gospel. Some are not going to get saved, and Paul tells us why. He says, because, quote, it is veiled to those who are perishing. So here's what Satan has done. He says, quote, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. So you got to pray up to the Heavenly Father before you evangelize. Pray up to the Heavenly Father that He would send the Holy Spirit to convict hearts. I do that before I'm teaching here. I do that before I do evangelism. It's great to do. Pray up to the Father, Lord, bring people in, like we're doing outreach. Soften their hearts. Get people that they don't just want the stuff, but they want the Savior. And show me who that person or people are. But you need to soften hearts. You need to help unveil them because they're blinded. You need to pray to God. Okay, so false preachers, notice here in verse 5, Paul says his preaching was not about ourselves. Uh-oh, we're going to, you ever watch those shows, right, where they're kind of, there's some, I got these different names, like truth tellers. What's that one? You guys know there's like a reality kind of show where they're going to show you, like at the tip of my tongue. Come on. You guys have probably seen this show. I don't even have TV. Where they're showing you like the truth behind something. Anyhow, if I remember, I'll let you know. But Paul in verse 5, he's preaching was not about ourselves. Hey, there's a person out there who's a false prophet, false teacher. And when I point that out to some people, they're like, oh, and they like get in a tizzy fit. Life is not having your best life now. That's preaching ourselves. Please understand, I get chills thinking about this. That guy either is not saved or very greatly wrong. He's going to have to die, and he's not going to have the millions of followers and millions of dollars and a big stadium full of people down south. He's going to die one-on-one with Jesus. If he's saved, he's like, okay, buddy, let's talk. He's a radical false teacher. You cannot point people to having your best life now. He wrote another book, Become a Better You. Notice the pronouns. Notice the focus. It's about who? You. And yet you come to Jesus and he says, deny yourself. It's like, whoa, that's antithetically posed. One is a message from Satan. The other one's a message from Jesus. Make sense? You got to be able to detect a false teacher. And they're out there. They're very popular on the internet and elsewhere. All right, so Paul's preaching was not about ourselves, he says in verse 5. Paul says in Colossians 1:28, here's what he did in churches. Here's what we do here too. Colossians 1, verse 28. Him we preach. So you got to preach Jesus Christ. Him we preach, warning every man. So I need to warn you. I need to exhort you. This is a time for apologetics. Hey, there's cults. There's fake Christians out there too. You may need to unsubscribe to some of their channels. Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So Paul, just like every pulpit that's a true pulpit that's honored by God, needs to preach, exhort, and teach. In one verse, Paul's mentioned that. Colossians 1 verse 28. Please, you can look that up later if you're taking notes. Him we preach. You got to preach Jesus Christ. Not preach yourself. Not preach, hey, you could have a better life. You're going to draw tens of thousands of people to yourself, make a lot of money. Why? Just like the people that fiend, that go like to the off-track betting places or fiend for the scratchers. You've seen them like the bodegas, right? Like you want, it's like, I just want to buy this water. Like, no, I want more. Like fiending for scratch, you know? Why? Because they're addicted to gambling, which is a sin, right? That same type of person gets preyed upon by people from like false prophets, false teachers in churches. You got to know that. Okay? So there's a part of our fallen humanity that we gravitate towards self. Oh, I want to have a better life. I want to have more money. It's going to give me more power. And Jesus is like, just die. Die to yourself. I died. You want to follow me? You got to die too. No. Okay. So the Spirit of God will tell your spirit, surrender. Let God do the work. Okay. His way is antithetically opposed to Satan's ways. All right, let's continue on. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Okay, we're going to stop here. This is where we stopped also for the Spanish church. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Your Bible might say jars of clay. Anybody remember that band, Jars of Clay? This is the verse where they get it from. Jars of clay, earthen vessel. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Okay, I'm just going to quote that verse. We'll probably have to come back to this part for maybe next time. For the Spanish church as well as the English church. But I just want to park it here for a bit. Do you know that the best treasure you can have right now on this earth is not having your best life now? The best treasure you have is the gospel, the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ, that he sent his son because of his love for you. The Heavenly Father wants to be your father. He sent his son from heaven, a Messiah, a man on a mission to die on the cross for your sins. And by believing, receiving, and turning away, repenting from that sin, so he can give you a new beginning, a new life, a new hope, he now comes to live within you. And this gospel message through Jesus Christ, what's grand and great and glorious is he lives within you, and you are like me, a broken, I'll say it for myself, broken, stupid clay vessel, a jar of clay, an earthen vessel. Like, that doesn't make sense. Neither does the grace of God. Neither does the fact that God could love you so much that he would send his only son, who's perfect, to die for your sins. That he would take your place. He'd be willing to choose you over his only begotten son. Like, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't. That's the grace of God. And that comes from him. That's his character, his nature. He's a God of love. He's a God of grace, a God of mercy. And you and I deserve to die on the cross for our sins. But God had mercy on you, just like how he did with Paul. God had grace with you. He still does. He has love for you. And his love is never going to end. Ours will end, but his won't. Amen? So the greatest treasure that anyone can experience in life is simply to receive the gospel for salvation. And that's many of us, if not all of you guys here. I don't know everybody here. But look what he says here again in verse 7. And by the way, can we set up? Okay, thank you. Can we set up to close with some worship, if we can? I'm not sure if you guys are back there. But if we're able to, let's set up for that in a bit. But look at this again in verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Do you know that this treasure, this good news of salvation through Jesus Christ, that God himself lives within you, and further beyond that, you have this treasure way better than any gold or any money can buy. You can't buy. And it's a beautiful treasure that he would come and live within you and change you and transform you from the inside out. And now, just like Paul, you weren't killing Christians like Paul. You were just, yeah, I'm a sinner, but not that bad. If you could use Paul or Peter, well, you could certainly use me and use you. That you and I can receive his grace, his love, his mercy. And on top of not dying for your own sins, he sends, you know, Jesus to die for you. And he lives within you. You have this treasure that he wants to also empower you and use your life, just like Paul, like he's trying to do with the Corinthians. He's now trying to speak to you here, New Yorkers, that he wants to empower you. That he lives within you as a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, but he wants to use you. And sometimes you get so depressed, you might go, oh, what's the use or whatever. Maybe you're not there. You got a treasure within your broken jar of clay, within your earthen vessel. He lives within you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to pour out upon, into, and through your life. That perhaps the people around you at work, at home, where you live, that he wants them to be saved too. But first he's got to get to you. And then he can get to them second. Amen? And maybe you're like the people of Corinth, where you got to be reminded of these things. That, hey, I simply, just like Paul, I need to have a ministry of truth, teaching God's word of truth. And it's not just what you talk, but with my walk. Let me prove to you that I'm teaching and preaching to, that I believe the Bible by simply obeying what he says. You're not going to be perfect. You might stumble here and there, but let Jesus pick you back up. Amen? And this is not just Paul's ministry. This is not just my ministry. This is your ministry too, a ministry of truth. We got Bibles, but you've got a whole bunch of people in your life that need to know that you really believe the Bible. And it's not going to be by your words, it'll be more by your walk, amen? So it's the truth and integrity. But allow God to speak to their hearts, just like how you're allowing God to speak to you and use you, amen? So I'm going to close with a word of prayer. And if anybody wants prayer, I'm going to simply ask you to come forward and we can pray for you. But can we all stand, please? And if you want prayer in Espanol, JP can come up. He can pray for you. And if you simply want prayer, maybe to close out this year, close out this month, that God would empower you to also have the same ministry like Paul, a ministry of truth. That I don't want to just read the Bible. I want to apply the Bible. You need God's power. And you're not alone. We're in this together. Amen. And we can pray for each other and help each other. So as we close with a word of prayer and have a time for more worship, if that's you and you want prayer, I'm going to simply ask you to come up. You can start coming up if that's any of you, and we can simply pray for you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask that you please would be here with us. God, please convicting our hearts, by your Spirit, just like the Apostle Paul. We just want to teach your word of truth. We want to be people of truth. We want to be preachers of your word of truth. You've gave us your Bible, God, and it's not ours, it's yours. It's the word of God. Help us to be faithful to simply teach and preach and exhibit your word, and then just step back and allow you to convict hearts. And so just like that sower that you taught us, Jesus, in Mark chapter 4, we're going to sow the seed of the word of God. It's you doing the work, and you're going to do it through us, the body of Christ. And we're not responsible for where those seeds of your word hit the hearts. We just got to be faithful to keep getting out your word and then get out of the way so that you can convict the heart, that you can speak to people's conscience. So if you could birth a church at Corinth, if you could birth a church here in New York City, there's so many Christians in New York that I've come across that really don't believe in you and really don't believe your word, but you're doing it here. And so we believe in you. We believe in your word. Like Jesus, you said, anyone thirsts to come to you. And you said that if we believe in you, as the scripture has said, and we believe in you, Lord. We know the scriptures, the word of God's all about you, Jesus. And you said, out of our heart will flow rivers, torrents of living water. That's your Holy Spirit. So we come to you, Jesus. We're thirsty. We were hungry for your word. Thank you for feeding us today. And we're thirsty for your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit upon us, God. Help us to be the body of Christ, to pray for each other, to encourage each other. Fall fresh on us here, Lord. Help us for your glory. Help us to love one another here. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.